Good morning. The scripture reading will come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. Once again, that is Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse 27. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If all been found, please say amen. And it reads, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I've just read unto you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27.
If today was your last day on earth, if today was your last day here on earth, where will you spend eternity? And it is appointed once, it is appointed unto man, which means everybody here has a calendar with their death date on it. It is appointed unto man to die. But after this, are you ready for the after this? See, there's a life after this. As a matter of fact, the title of this sermon, Life in the After This. Are you ready for the life after this? Mm-hmm. It's appointed unto us to die. If you die today, where will you spend your eternity? Mm-hmm. Turn with me to Luke, chapter 16. Verse number 19. Now, while you turn there, I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, I was in the world. A couple of my so-called friends in the world, they invited me to this party. They said, "What is going on out, man?" We went over there, went to the party, the three of us. And one of the guys there got into a fight. I mean, it was a serious fight. Blood was all over him when he finished. And ambulance had to carry the guy that he got in the fight out, carried him on where he had to go. So I'm talking to him. It was me and two more people. I'm in front of the guy that was talking to the guy that got into a fight. And all of a sudden, a man came from behind with a 38 special. I'm hearing bullets go past me. True story. Bullets going past me. I instantly fell on the ground. I rolled up on the car. And I had the most scariest feeling I've ever had in my life. I had to check my body for bullet holes. Yes. Thanks be to God, I wasn't hit. But there was a man that was with me. He wasn't blessed enough to be in this condition that I was. See, I was this close. For living life in the after this. And I was not prepared. Are you prepared for the life after this? Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. We'll pick up verse number 19. Brother Craig, read that for me.
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in
purple. There was a rich man clothed in purple. Now, I know if you remember the Acts, Lydia, she made a fortune off of purple. At this point in time, purple was hard to come around. He was clothed in purple and what else?
Fine linen.
Look, this man was dressed to impress. This man probably had all of the jewelry. Fine linen, Egyptian linen. It was expensive in those times. He fared sumptuously. Now, that has a negative connotation. That means he had the best of the best, all of the money, fared sumptuously. Probably got drunk every day, the scripture says. Fared sumptuously. Every day. That wasn't the day that went by he wasn't drunk or high on something. Kind of reminds me of the people today. There's not a day you go every day they faring assumptions. This rich man, it wasn't nothing that his money couldn't buy. Probably had all of the women. Remind me of the men today. Like we look in the news, Jeffrey Epstein and all these fellas. Anything that comes to their wicked mind, they got the money to do it. Man, paid off parents to take their their daughters and do what he want to do with them. Keep reading, Brother Craig.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores.
Now there was this beggar named Lazarus, laid at the gate, full of sores.
And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
He desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, but we must understand that gate never opened. He said that gate desiring to get something to eat. He was desiring just to feed me. Nobody had comfort. There was no comfort for him. Nobody had pity on him. Only the dogs. What did it say, Brother Craig? The dog.
Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
The dogs were the only ones that comforted him. They licked his sores as he laid on the ground. Go ahead, pick up, read.
And it came to pass that the beggar.
Now, the beggar died as he laid on that ground, that dirty ground. Laid there, but when he died, he was carried. They picked him up. The angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Now, this, we need to understand what this Abraham's bosom means. It's not the Father's house that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 1 through 6, that he's going to build. And that he's going to come back and get them and take them there. This is not the Father's house. This is the Hadean realm. Abraham's bosom. This Hadean realm is the waiting place for the departing souls from this life so that they can wait for judgment. Now, you have Abraham's. There's two departments. Abraham's bosom. And then you have Tartarus. Now, keep reading, Brother Craig. Now, I don't care how rich you are in this world. I don't care how poor you are. When you're in that grave, you're both equal.
Amen.
You're equal in that grave. Amen. See, the grave is an equalizer. You can't take none of the stuff with you. But he was carried into paradise. Abraham's bosom. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verse number 43. Luke 23, as a matter of fact, we're going to bag up. Luke 23, verse number 39. Jesus was hanging on the cross at this time. He was between two thieves. Pick up with verse number 39, Brother Craig.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? Thou art in the same condemnation.
So this man has some kind of belief in God. He must have heard. See, faith come by hearing, so he heard something. Keep reading.
And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me.
Today you shall be with me in paradise. Now we know Jesus died, and that paradise was where he took the thief on the cross. He didn't go right to heaven. As a matter of fact, let me show you something. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 31. Jesus went to paradise that day. 3 days he was in paradise. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 30. Read that for him, Brother Craig.
Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins,
talking about David here,
according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in
Hades, paradise. It say hell, but that word is Hades in the Greek. His soul was not left in hell. Jesus never went to hell. He went to the Hadean realm. His soul was not left in hell. Go ahead.
Neither his flesh did see corruption.
His body that was here on earth in that tomb of the rich man, Joseph, after those 3 days, his flesh was there and never was corrupted. His flesh Neither did he see corruption, because he was in paradise for 3 days, came back to earth, and he was seen of his disciples. We can read that in John's account. Now, the Hadean realm, that is the life in the after this. Are you prepared for the life in the after this? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 4. Go ahead, Brother Craig. 2 Peter 2.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
All right. This is what I want in verse number 4.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell.
Into Tartarus. He cast them down into Tartarus.
And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
That is the holding place, Tartarus, for those that are evil, that he reserved them unto when? So they're not, no, sometimes, you know, in the denominational world or some, even us say, well, my mom is in heaven. No, no, she's not in heaven. They are reserved unto judgment.
Yes,
sir. The Hadean realm. So we must understand and speak what the Bible speaks. Are you ready for the life in the after this? Now, when Jesus come back in Revelation 20, verse number 14, the scripture says that death, this life, death, and the Hadean realm shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's get back to our reading. So, back in Luke chapter 16, had to get a little teaching out of the way so we understand the context of what we're dealing with here. So, the rich man, well, Lazarus was carried. Keep reading, Brother Craig.
Mm-hmm. Richmond also died and was buried, and in hell.
And Tartarus,
he lifted up his eyes,
being in torment,
and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Listen to me. I think the most saddest part in this whole situation, this man was in Tartarus, tormented. And he was able to see Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He was able to see it. I think that's, ooh, that hurt me. I'm in pain, and I can be able to see the joy of the Lord. I can be able to see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I can be able to see my mom, if she'd been a faithful Christian, over in paradise. And here I am in torment. That got to be sad. He was able to see Lazarus. Keep reading.
And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place.
In Luke chapter 13, verse number 28, there will be crying. He cried, please have mercy. Listen, there is no mercy in Tartarus. No mercy. Please send Lazarus. There is no grace. You had your chance before the after this. Please send him to dip his finger in some water and cool me or this flame. Keep reading.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things.
Well, listen to me. Abraham said, remember in your lifetime? Remember in your lifetime? Before the after this? How you fared sumptuously every day? How you drunk and whatever it is to get your high every day? Multiple women. Do you remember in your lifetime? Do you remember that? Yeah, it could be said of us too. Do we remember in our lifetime that we put God first? Did we come to worship ready and excited to serve God in our lifetime? Or did we do it to please me? Or did we do it because we felt obligated? Remember in your lifetime. Keep reading, Brother Craig. The next verse.
And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great
gulf fixed.
So that they would, which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this.
Listen. He wanted, this is so funny. The rich man saw Lazarus laying at his gate. Wasn't paying him any mind. Didn't even think about it. The dog was over there eating on Lazarus. He didn't even have a concern for him. Now he in torment, and he wants Lazarus to come and assist him and help him because he's thirsty. He did not seek the opportunity to help Lazarus. If he would have helped Lazarus, maybe he would have stored up some treasures in heaven, just like Jesus said.
Yes.
He didn't seek the opportunity to help Lazarus. Now he's seeking somebody to help him. But that's the life in the after this. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. If you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Not just the members of the church. All men, especially those of the household of faith. But we are commanded to do good unto all men. If a beggar come in here, what you doing? You going to kick him out? If a beggar come in here for these water, what we going to do? Kick him out? We see a beggar on the street, we're going to walk right over, forget about them. We're going to be like the rich man. If we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 35, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you fed, you clothed me. It was like, those disciples like, when did we do that? When you did it to the brethren. When you did it to them, you did it for me. Sometimes we have the attitude of the rich man. We need to store up treasures in heaven by doing things before we get to the after this. There's a great gulf fix. Keep reading, Brother Craig.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father.
Uh-oh, so he's asking for, he's praying now. He a praying man now. He a praying man. Go ahead. Send Lazarus to my father's house.
For I have five brethren.
I got five. He ready to preach the gospel now. I got five brothers. Go ahead.
That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
Please send somebody to go preach to my brothers, lest they come here. I don't want them here. Also, now you care about the souls of man. But before the life after this, you didn't care about it. You was faring assumptuously. You didn't care about the souls of man. Now you care about the souls of man. Why? Because you see the joy of the Lord across that great gulf fixed. You see what life could be like if a man followed Christ. And you want your brothers to enjoy that versus where you at. Keep reading. What did Abraham say?
For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, but they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.
They have Moses, the word of God. They have the prophets. Let them hear them. Listen, faith come by hearing, not by seeing somebody like Lazarus come. Faith come by hearing the word of God. Let them hear it. On this side of eternity, will you hear Moses and the prophets? I had a guy, I was doing a Bible study. You know, and he said, I'm talking about New Testament things and about how we're on a new covenant. He came to me, he was like, look, let me show you something. He pulled out this scripture. He said, see, Jesus said, all they got to hear is Moses and the prophets. See, that's what Jesus said. I had to explain to him, listen, Jesus haven't died yet. There haven't been a new covenant. Jesus still living on the old system. Jesus still preaching. He hadn't died, haven't resurrected. Sins haven't been forgiven. See, he thought it was slick. So this is what I hit him with. I said, well, look, let me show you something. I said, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse number 39, ye search the scriptures, talking to the Pharisees. Ye search the scriptures, and ye think you have eternal life. But those scriptures are they which testify of me. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, think not I come to destroy the old law of Moses and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Listen, the prophets and Moses preached Christ. They preached Christ. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and even in the Psalms concerning me. That was writing about Christ. Let me prove it to you. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet before thee from the midst of thee, of thy brother like unto me, unto him, unto Christ ye shall hear. Moses knew his law was coming to an end. Colossians 2:14. Blot out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it away, nailing that old law to the cross. Moses preached Christ. Matter of fact, I'm going to go through some of these prophets. Isaiah preached Christ. Turn to Isaiah 7:14. Turn with me. Isaiah preached Christ. It's the same thing that was said in Luke. Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. Isaiah preached Christ. Turn to Isaiah 53:7. What does it say? Isaiah 53:7. All right, who is he talking about? This is kind of puzzling. Like, okay, who is Isaiah talking about? Now turn to Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. So this scripture is out there. Who is he talking about? Acts 8:26. So Philip is being instructed to preach. Go ahead.
Which is desert, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet.
So he's sitting in his chariot, reading over this scripture. Puzzle. Go ahead and keep reading. Who is he talking about? Go ahead.
Himself or some other man.
And then what?
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
That's the same scripture we just read in Isaiah, right?
Yeah.
Isaiah preached Christ. He had that same scripture, and the same person that Isaiah was preaching, he preached Christ. Daniel 7:13, a new kingdom I saw in the night vision. Son of man appeared before the Ancient of Days. Unto him was given the power, glory, and the kingdom. Daniel preached Christ. Chapter 2:44. This kingdom should never be destroyed. Talk about Christ and his church. Michael 5:1. Talk about the birth of Christ. What would happen during that time? Michael preached Christ. Zechariah 9:9. Christ shall go into the city on a donkey. He preached Christ. Joel 2. We can read chapter 2 of Acts, where men were prophesying. The moon should be as blood. All these figures that Joel said in chapter 2 of Joel when you go over to Acts chapter 2, Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Job. Job preached Christ. Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah said, I will make a covenant, a new covenant with the house of Israel. Jeremiah preached Christ. Listen, you can listen to the Moses and the prophets. They all preaching the same thing, and that's Jesus Christ. So whatever denomination you might be a part of, if they're not preaching Christ, then what are they preaching? The old law, the Jews, and how they love from David. Oh, the David is our king. Well, Psalms chapter 110 and verse number 1, David said, the Lord God said to my Lord, Jesus, sit down on my right hand till I make my enemies your footstool. David preached Christ. As a matter of fact, a lot of men in the denominational world, they say things, the reason why they worship is because of David. David did that. Like David had instrumental music. Why can't we? I get that all the time. David used when he worshiped. Well, David was a sinner. 2 Samuel chapter 11, he took a man's wife, killed the man off. Killed the man, and everybody was surrounding the man in the army and things of that nature. Took his wife, tried to hide it. He was a sinner. We're not under David. David said, the Lord said to my Lord. We're under his Lord. As a matter of fact, let me show you something. Turn to Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6. Let me show you something. Read verse 1. Woe to them. So these are woes that Amos is telling the people, woe unto them that what?
That are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came.
Woe unto them. Read verse number 4.
That lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall.
Keep reading.
That
woe unto them that chant unto the sound of what?
Of the vile.
And what?
And invented themselves instruments of music.
Like who?
Like David.
Woe unto them that chant unto the vile and invent unto themselves instruments of music like David. So why you look around, you don't see instruments in here? Because it's a woe. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. That's why you don't see them. Woe unto them, even David. Listen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It didn't say play. Speak unto yourselves. It didn't say beatbox. Sometimes in the Lord's church, we get comfortable. We trying to be close as we can, but we're going to beatbox. Speak unto yourselves. Well, if you go to Colossians 3, verse number 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. See, how can a beatbox teach? How can drums teach? When you speak, you know, oh, how I love you. You teaching and admonishing one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why are we beatboxing? Woe unto them that chant to the vile and invent instrumental music. Just like David. Listen, we're not following David, we're following Christ.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, just for a homework assignment, go look up the word acapella in your English dictionary. The word acapella means to sing like they did in the church. That's the definition. There was never instrumental music in church. Never. 1850, that's what introduced it. Instrumental music. It came in 1850. But they looking at us crazy like we got something wrong with us because we don't have instruments and drums and chanting to the violin or instruments of music like David. I'm going to tell you one thing. They're not prepared for the life after this if they continue that. Are you prepared for the life after this when it comes to doctrinal matters? Abraham told the rich man, you better listen to Moses and the prophets. And we know, as we just researched, they preached Christ. Christ.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, the prophets, they were preaching Christ, but they didn't really have the clear picture. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse number 18. Acts chapter 3, verse number 18. Those things that God showed by the mouth of all the prophets. Go ahead.
That Christ shall suffer.
Now, this is way back in the day. Go ahead.
He had so fulfilled.
He fulfilled it. It was all about Christ from the beginning. All about Christ from the beginning. Go to Romans chapter 16, verse number 25. Romans 16, verse number 25. Romans 16.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery.
A revelation. So this is the mystery. Something that was like one known. The mystery. Go ahead.
Which was kept secret since the world began.
Kept secret since the world before Adam and Eve. That mystery. The mystery of the gospel, go ahead, 26.
But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Listen, now the mystery has unfolded. The church of Christ that was prophesied way back before earth was even started. This mystery that the prophets talked about, all manifest now by Paul. For all nations. It has been made for not just the Jews, but all nations for the obedience of faith. Mm-hmm. Turn with me one more time to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9 through 12. 1 Peter 1, 9 through 12. Matter of fact, I might got a bag up. Hold on. 1 Peter 1. Let me get the context here. Read. Verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was according to his abundant mercy, have begotten to a lively hope.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith being more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Right.
Drop down to verse number 9. I want to give you a little context here. I don't want to take you out of it. Go ahead, number 9.
Receiving the end of your faith.
Receiving the end of your faith.
Even the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently.
They inquired. They searched diligently, go ahead.
Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
Listen, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Yes, sir.
Keep reading.
Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them.
The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. The Spirit of Christ was in them. In the prophets. What? How Christ went? Christ been here way before the beginning of the earth. Go ahead.
Did signify when it testified before the hand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves.
One revealed unto them.
But unto us.
But unto the apostles.
The things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to.
The angels desired to know about this mystery. They couldn't even get it, the information. It was through the prophets. The prophets inquiring about it, speaking what God says. That's why when a preacher preaches, he speaks what God says, just like a prophet. He don't add or subtract. He spoke what God says, not understanding. The Holy Spirit came down in Acts 1, revealed to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Acts 2, you hear the first sermon. When you get to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, I've written it down in a few words so that you may understand the mystery. That's enough evidence right there. My point is, in the life after this, have you been observing Moses and the prophets?
Yes, sir.
Because they preach Christ. Mm-hmm. Will you hear them? That's what he said. Will you hear them in the life after this? Well, I remember researching Steve Jobs, the man who founded Apple. And he's a rich man. He actually said on his deathbed, you can research it, he wrote a letter. He said, all the money that I accumulated, there's nothing that can stop those beeping machines in my ear right now. He said, I acquired all the money in the world that a man could ask, but that acquiring, that driving out the money has made me a madman. And that man now, he's dead and gone, but he's in the life after this.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't prepared. See, hell is a prepared place for unprepared people. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared? If you're not, you can get prepared today. You can get prepared right now. You can be prepared, because you never know. You might, hey, once them curtains of your eyes close, they never open.
Yes, sir.
They're done. And you have to deal with the life after this. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. If you die today, where will you spend your eternity? If you're not a Christian, hear the gospel. I just laid it out plain. I can go through a whole lot more, but it's a waste of time if you can't get what I just said.
Yes, sir.
Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You go to John chapter 1, the whole, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. Believe, repent of your sins, come down and say, you know, I'm letting this go. These chains of sin I got to break loose. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through him. Amen. Only one way. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, because that's the culminating act that makes everything possible where we contact the blood. Because when Jesus comes back, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not. That could be non-Christian or Christian. Know not God and those that obey not. He's coming back. Are you prepared? Come, my together, we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today.